This is Jean Marie Laskus with the podcast Cement City. So there's this election coming up, a big one, and one guy's been indicted. People are talking voter fraud. Democracy itself is on the line. Sound familiar? Well, this isn't that election. This one is in Denora, Pennsylvania, a dying town in the middle of nowhere, where I bought a house and stayed for 3 years. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
I am team nerd. I love that kid. How awesome is he?
We are all team Clark Kent. And if you missed it last night, they are calling him Clark Kent. The men's gymnastics all-around team event last night did not disappoint. His name is Steven. Is it Nedorosic?
I believe that is correct.
With that team made Olympic history last night.
First time they have medaled in 16 years.
But here's why I've reached out to a couple of friends of mine who are ophthalmologists. This has exploded on social media because he, A, sort of looks like Clark Kent. B, his entire job is to sit there until it's time
for the pommel horse.
Yeah. That's all he does. Not that that's not enough. And C, apparently he can't see.
So I did a deep dive on this kid this morning. And by, when I call him a kid, I'm not being disparaging nor derogatory. He's just very young.
He's 25.
Yeah. So he started doing men's gymnastics when he was a very young kid. But he wasn't good at the rings. He wasn't good at the vault.
He's a one-trick pony on the pommel horse.
That's right. And so what he decided to do when he was in his teenage years was focus on the one event that he was good at.
Yeah.
And that was the pommel horse. The only reason he is on this team is because he is the best of the best at the pommel horse.
In fact, Americans historically are the worst of the worst at pommel horse. He was well aware of the daunting history of the pommel horse, an apparatus the American men have historically struggled with for decades. This understanding drew him to the apparatus as it demands qualities he excels in: stamina, strength, most notably creativity, because apparently, I don't want to say he can't see, but he doesn't see like you and I see, okay? What they're saying is his pupils don't dilate, Sam, is that right?
I believe that's correct, yes.
So he,
what do you mean they don't dilate?
He does the pommel horse, Scott, by feel.
Wow.
More than by sight. Which is just crazy. You watched him, the way he places his hands, boom, 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 as his legs are doing the helicopter thing back and forth, and boom, 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 boom.
What?
I've watched that thing on a loop 100 times, and then you see his parents, and oh my gosh, he hands over the medal, and everyone is crying. And
did you see last night where, while the other guys were doing their events, the rings and everything else, he was their biggest cheerleader. He was, when they would come over, he would hand them drinks.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then right before he got on the pommel horse, did you see what he was doing?
Mm-mm.
Meditating with a smile on his face.
It was pure joy to watch that last night. And then all of the
Now, we knew this going in
after,
because
yeah, yeah, yeah.
You and I were watching it live here in the studio.
Correct. But all of the interviews after, and when they were all reunited with their parents and their girlfriends, and my God, the biceps on those boys. You know, they're not...
Oh, they're ripped.
Real tall. They are ripped to be able to do what they do. Even on the bar apparatus that is not uneven or parallel... how do they do that without ripping their shoulders out when they swing around that thing with their arms backwards?
Why don't the men have parallel bars like the women?
They do.
No, they don't.
They have the two that are parallel.
Right.
No.
Theirs are the same height. The women's are at different heights.
Oh, is there two there?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I just thought there was one.
Well, that's a different apparatus.
Oh, okay.
But I'm telling you, and I've got a friend who is a silver medalist, former silver medalist in the Olympics. I tried, Scott, to get her to come on the program today. She's in Texas. She's in Texas and can't do it. But at some point, I do want to have her on just to explain What does it take to get to this point for all of them? You know, everyone is so focused on Simone Biles, and rightly so. I think she's one of the greatest athletes we've ever seen. But watching those men last night, I have such admiration for what it must have taken to get to that level.
Well, we already know the result, and we're not going to give it out, even though I think Grayson and Jamie did.
Middays did go ahead and give out the result of the women's team gymnastics.
But by now, you should know. I'm sorry. It's all over social. I got text alerts on my phone.
But Dana, sometimes people will ignore the internet or their social media so that they can go home tonight and be surprised. So like during the World Cup, for example.
Okay.
I will stay off of Facebook and off the internet so that when I go home, I can, well, actually, the next World Cup's going to be here. But
if you so much as pick up your phone, all of the breaking news alerts came in of what had happened.
Right. And so you ignore that. If you give out that Han Solo died in Episode 7, we are going to get, we are going to be in so much trouble.
I'm just saying, I think very, very few people do not know, but we won't ruin it. Two more things that were my favorite.
If you already know, then you know.
There is a photo of swim phenom Katie Ledecky in the pool, touching the finish line, Scott. Look up this photo. She touches the finish line. She is so incredible that from a very aerial wide photo, there is not a single competitor in the frame of the photo with her as she touches the wall.
Are you?
No, I'm just telling you, the photo is one of the most incredible Olympic still photographs you've ever seen.
She's telling you how she did without telling you how she did.
And then there's another photo of a surfer.
Stop talking.
Suspended in the air.
Cut her mic.
Suspended. Well, look, everyone knows Katie Ledecky is the best swimmer of all time. She's like Michael Phelps.
Stop talking. There are people on the text line saying, I am ignoring all of my phone alerts and all of my internet because I want to see it tonight.
It was yesterday.
No, it wasn't. It was 2 hours ago.
The picture of that Brazilian surfer that you're talking about is absolutely
suspended. That's awesome. Now, that was yesterday.
Yes. Dan, explain that photo.
Well, I was actually watching the surfing because it's really cool, and they've been having some mediocre waves out there in Tahiti, out in the South Pacific, but yesterday they had some massive waves. And so this Brazilian surfer, he drops in and he goes right into that barrel. You lose sight of him as the wave is crashing over. That curtain comes over and he pops out. He's got all 10 fingers raised because he knows that he's got, you know, a 10-point ride. And then he goes up the wall of that wave.
That's awesome.
And he just pops up straight up in the
air. Up vertically into the air.
With his hand up with his finger raised.
With a number one.
And then there are photographers that are actually in the water with their cameras, video and still photos. And the guy on the backside of the wave, after it had just crossed, snapped this picture that makes it look like this Brazilian surfer is walking on air.
Just standing there floating in the air.
I'm looking at, by the way, Tahiti is administered by France.
Yes.
Hence, that's why they're having the surfing competition in the Pacific.
Incredible location.
But I'm looking at pictures of Tahiti. What a beautiful, beautiful place.
French Polynesia.
Yeah. It is absolutely gorgeous.
But this photo is just,
I've always said there's something different to me about sports photography. And I love all still photography, but there is something that is so, it's in a separate class of its own. And I don't care if we're talking about baseball and the winning home run, or if we are talking about Chiefs photography or gymnastics or surfing, there is something about the ability for a photographer to capture that moment in sport that is unlike any other photography, I think.
Well, imagine capturing that action.
Yes.
Imagine you see that live and you're doing the shutter flick trying to get that picture.
Right.
And you get back to the beach and you look at it and it's blurry.
But how far out do you have? But seriously, like, how far out do you have to go to get on a wave that big?
Well, not very far at all. This is what's amazing about this particular wave that they are surfing. They, you know, there's a coral reef surrounding much of the island of Tahiti. It's the atoll and how it's all created. There's a gap where you can go in and out to the island. But right here on the edge of the reef, The ground,
and that's what creates the wave.
It just drops off in a certain spot and allows this incredible wave to come in. And just 50 yards this way, there are a bunch of boats just floating in the water. They're not in the surf.
Just hanging out.
That's what's extraordinary.
And so they're not in the wave
area,
so to speak?
The wave is kind of, it's contained to this one section, and it just rolls in, and then just right over here where everyone's just either floating in the water with the extra surfboards.
And that's where they get the picture.
Well, some of they're closer, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, wow. They're floating around. Yeah, in the water. There's people down there under the water.
Well, that picture
video.
Was amazing. I mean, extraordinary. It's literally like he's walking on air.
He is suspended in the air, but looks like he's walking
with
above the water.
With his surfboard tethered to him.
Behind him.
Straight up and down as well.
While he puts up his index finger to
yes,
say,
I'm number one.
Yeah.
But that coral reef.
Don't forget it.
There was a surfer who tried to come out of the barrel and lost control and went down under the water aggressively and hit his face on the coral reef.
God.
It's very close.
Oh, during this Olympics?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, that's
yeah. The reef is very close. As soon as that wave comes over and crashes, you've just got a few yards until it gets very shallow.
And that stuff is sharp.
Oh, the reef will slice you up.
I have had a reef slicing incident in an area that I would prefer to not discuss, and it was one of the most painful injuries I have ever sustained.
Up here or down there?
Down there.
Oh
yeah. When they tell you on like a boat tour, don't get too close to the reef, they mean it. They mean do not get too close to the reef.
It'll get you.
It'll get you.
Every time.
When we get back, was someone fired or taken off of the microphone because of some comment about some female athletes?
Well, I don't think fired, but let's just say sent home.
You know what it is about those women.
What now?
913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. See,
Be careful. Be careful.
By the way, he has since been fired before you get into
this. Oh, he has been fired.
He has.
Broadcaster Bob Ballard issued a statement yesterday after he was pulled from the 2024 Olympic coverage. Eurosport was the network he was working on over a remark about members of Australia's women's swimming team. After the Aussies won the 4x100-meter freestyle on Saturday, Ballard said,
"Well, the women just finishing off. You know what women are like, hanging around, you know, doing the makeup.
Outrageous, Bob. Some of the men are doing that as well.
But doing the makeup."
His quote, if you didn't understand Australian, a lot of people don't speak Australian.
You know what women are like?
Just finishing off. You know what women are like, hanging around, you know, doing the makeup.
Outrageous.
He said, "Well, the women are just finishing off. You know what women are like, hanging around doing their makeup."
Wow.
And his co-host, the co-commentator, said, "Well, you know, some men are doing that too, huh?" And then they had a good laugh.
He addressed the comment on Twitter. "The comments I made during the Australian freestyle relay victory ceremony on Saturday have caused some offense. It was never my intention to upset or belittle anyone. And if I did, I apologize. I am a massive advocate of women's sport." He was dismissed from the Eurosport broadcast and has since been fired.
This is a gold medaling team of the most accomplished, fierce swimmers the world has ever produced. And he makes a comment about makeup. And so you just, as a woman, you just want to face palm.
Women just finishing off. You know what women are like, hanging around, you know, doing the makeup.
Fireable?
Can you explain to me, Sam, not that there's any circumstance under which I'd be like, "Oh, yeah, that's funny, I understand it." But what were they waiting for the women to exit the pool to come talk to the media? Like,
they were waiting for them to take the podium.
They were waiting for them to take the podium.
So they've all got their jackets back on. They're all, well, he was correct. They were all hanging around, but they were not doing their makeup.
No. What a doofus.
Yeah.
But why, Bob? Why?
Fireable? I mean, you want to talk about...
You know, I think I read somewhere, Scott...
Thin-skinned.
I think I read somewhere that this... Well, that's because you're not a woman or a female athlete. I think I read somewhere that this is the first Olympics where there is an equal number of female athletes to men.
Good.
you know, it's 2024, but we're finally there at 50-50. And I think there are women in athletics that would tell you we need more female commentators in athletics.
He had a female commentator.
So that you don't get comments like that, because a woman would never, ever say, oh, we're waiting on them. You know how women are. They're out there doing their makeup.
But Dana, you and I literally broadcast improvised 4 hours a day. Mm. We say things to each other that are meant as a joke, to just kind of chide each other. I mean, I don't see this as a fireable offense. I just don't. He was making a lighthearted joke. What is it?
Waiting for women to take the podium where they have just attained the highest achievement in their sport, and you make a one-off about makeup. Come on, Scott. You know better than that, and I don't even think you would say that.
But fireable? Come on.
Did they fire him or just remove him from commentating?
Sam?
He was removed, and then he was fired. He has since put out a series of tweets regarding the controversy after he was fired.
Saying basically, I meant no offense.
Yeah.
I was trying to be lighthearted.
I was just goofing around. Are we this thin-skinned?
I think this is just not the time or the place to be making.
Oh, come on.
Come on, Scott. You
err
know.
On the side of caution.
Always.
Well, yeah, I would. Be. You know why? Because the world is so thin-skinned.
No, so instead of like the world focusing on the women and everything they've accomplished, we're talking about some doofus named Bob.
Yeah, and yet we got a guy who's on the pommel horse last night who probably can't see the pommel horse.
We're working on an interview about that, by the way.
Who his left eye goes this way, his right eye goes that way. He calls himself a nerd, but everybody else calls him Clark Kent. I mean, come on. Are we not allowed to be a little lighthearted about the Olympics? Or is everything going to have to be, well, you've achieved the highest thing you could in your sport.
But they have.
You must be perfect.
I think the difference.
And so did he.
But the difference is, Scott, no one would ever make a joke about the men's, let's say it was Michael Phelps and the men's swim team taking the podium.
What about this kid last night? Where they're calling him.
He has been surrounded with love. He has exploded on the internet for all of the right reasons.
He does not call himself Clark Kent. He calls himself a nerd, and that's true.
But I think the Clark Kent reference, if you go back and look on the internet, if you really look at what people were saying on Twitter, it's that by day he just looks like he's hanging out on the sidelines.
No, by day he
and
looks
then
like
when it's time,
nerd.
When it's time for him to unfurl his Superman costume, he hops up in his pommel horse
well,
guy.
Well, that may be true, but by day he looks like a goofball nerd.
This is a
nerd.
Horrible analogy.
I don't think so
it's
at all.
It's a horrible analogy.
I don't think so at all. The guy was making a lighthearted joke. I mean, how many times?
I'm a little surprised you've got this take. Even though you and I say things that offend people all the time, I'm sure that we do. I think this is one of those times where to diminish or belittle an athlete.
He's not doing that. He's making a joke about how long it's taking them to get to the podium. I remember not too long ago, we were in Cancun, okay? Mm-hmm. And T jumped in the shower. She's getting ready. We're getting ready to go down for breakfast. I get in the shower, and I get out, and it takes me literally 10 minutes to get ready. For her, it's 45 minutes to an hour. And I remember walking out of the bathroom, and to borrow a line from the show, I said, "Isn't it awfully nice to have a penis?" And I walked out of the bathroom. Because it takes me 15 minutes to get ready. It takes her an hour.
Okay, but you're talking about your partner. You're not talking about someone.
But I was making
on
a
the
joke
Olympic
about
stage.
Her gender.
Yeah, I think there's no way that you can take this any other way but misogynistic. There's just not.
I think that's a
well, the women just finishing off. You know what women are like. Hanging around, you know, doing the makeup.
Good God. When we get back, I do want to play one of the funniest viral fake commentators in men's gymnastics.
Is this what you sent Sam and
yes.
me this morning?
And what this man has done, he's clearly a comedian of some sort. It's brilliant. Right. He, in the exact cadence of a men's gymnastics commentator, is commentating this guy's bars routine using absolute nonsensical words, and it is the funniest thing I have seen all week.
All right, we'll get to that.
And just... it is not offensive. It's just funny.
All right. By the way, it's been 3 weeks since we've done terrible jokes.
What?
Mm-hmm.
It happens to be Tuesday.
May I float a motion?
I second.
I third.
Okay. Terrible jokes at 3:45 this afternoon here on Dana and Parks.
This is Jean Marie Laskus with the podcast Cement City. So there's this election coming up, a big one, and one guy's been indicted. People are talking voter fraud. Democracy itself is on the line. Sound familiar? Well, this isn't that election. This one is in Denora, Pennsylvania, a dying town in the middle of nowhere, where I bought a house and stayed for 3 years. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So what do you have? This is sort of sub-Olympics, if you will.
One of the funniest things I have seen in a long time, because people get very creative during the Olympics. It is a fake commentator by the name of Joe Tricini. And he is fake commentating in the perfect commentator voice one of the gymnasts' performances. And I'm going to give you a... like, I'm going to tell you some of what he's saying because it's in a British accent, which makes it even funnier. As this gymnast is going around and around and around the bar, he's saying things like semi-detached bungalow, cinnamon opinion, ankles luxury balloon, and a custard cream let down by the biscuit.
Yet it sounds like he's actually calling something.
Just listen.
That's Whitlock on the curtain rail, hoping for a full colon. Quilted wrists, folds like a crepe, semi-detached bungalow, cinnamon opinion, ankles, oh, luxury balloon vol au vent and a custard cream, nice hors d'oeuvre, let down by the biscuit. Fantastic composure on the dingus, Eskimo in a kayak, buttery palms, really easing him into a lobster bisque. Slipped into his mother tongue there, that's quite a unique skill for Max. He's an accomplished pedestrian. Chin hammock, hands akimbo, wagamamas. Fistful of jam pots, bit light on the chutney, sweet chili, no parking.
No parking.
He goes,
no parking.
Eskimo in a kayak, sweet chili, no parking.
I posted
that on my personal page. I'm going to put it on my work page right now. I've sent it to all of my friends.
On a lobster bisque. French authorities have arrested an activist from an ultra-left-wing movement at a site belonging to a national rail operator, SNCF, days after sabotage attacks paralyzed the rail network at the start of the Olympic Games. By the way, did you see that they also cut phone lines today?
Oh, God.
So they're back at it. They don't know if it's the same group, but they have arrested one person, an anarchist, who is allegedly part of the group that over the weekend sabotaged the rail lines at the start of the Olympics. Now another group, or the same group, we don't know, has cut phone lines in Paris. The French public prosecutor announcing late yesterday that an investigation was opened into several attacks on telecommunications installations and that the probe would be run jointly by counterterrorism investigators and the National Police Force.
Do I read that they hacked the towers?
No.
They didn't physically cut a line.
Yes, they did.
Oh, they did?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. They showed pictures of it this morning on the news. They were, I don't know where these cable lines run, these telecommunication lines run, but they literally got in there and cut the lines.
Actually cut the cord.
Correct.
Okay.
I mean, did they not see this coming after years of protesting in Paris?
But not even that, Sam. I mean, it is one more illustration of how fragile our infrastructure really is.
Oh, yeah.
We just think that there's somebody keeping an eye on cords.
But what is, these would be landlines, right? Would they not? I mean, cell phones go from tower to tower. Right?
Landlines aren't even landlines anymore. They're just digital things that are hooked up to your wall. It's not the old school landline where it's actually a hard line.
Are you sure about
line.
That?
No, yes. I'm, yes. Think about it. Think about your oh, what do you call it? Your Wi-Fi box at home. All of those cables go into a wall. If you physically cut that cable, you would be out of Wi-Fi at your house too.
But like Google Fiber is an actual
fiber line is direct, yes.
A wired line that goes into underground, no doubt, but goes into my home, right?
Yes.
And that's how I get the internet.
That is correct.
And that's how I get my TV.
But I believe most landlines now aren't the old school landline that you would think of. They're just a digital fixed version of a cell phone, essentially.
How many people still have landlines? My mom does.
I think we bundled it. They make you bundle it with like a lot of packages now. So you get like cell phone.
Do you have a landline?
Wi-Fi landline. We don't have it plugged in. I think I couldn't tell you the number if my life depended on it. But I think we bundled it with a landline.
So if you went out to like Best Buy.
Yep.
And bought a landline phone.
If you could even buy one.
You can.
Plugged it in.
They still sell them. Hell, they still sell CD players at Nebraska Furniture Mart.
$10?
No, it's $25.
Landline. So I think firehouses have to have a landline.
Well, we have landlines here at the office.
When was the last time you used a landline here at the office? When they replaced
A week ago.
For what purpose?
If I don't want somebody to have my cell phone number.
Oh. Ooh. Well, that's an interesting little hack.
Hmm? I had to make a call last week to somebody I didn't know, but I needed their services.
Okay.
And I didn't want them to have my private cell phone number.
Oh, God, what are you calling, a hitman?
Maybe I am. Maybe I'm not.
I think if we looked it up, it's less than 2% of the population in the United States still has a landline.
If you need to know, I needed to order more Dana and Parks bumper stickers.
Hospitals still have them.
Wait, you didn't want them to know your cell phone number?
Nursing homes still have them.
A quarter of U.S. adults, roughly 68.9 million people, and this is a study as recent as 7 days ago, still rely on landlines.
No way.
How many?
68.9 million
no.
people.
No
way. Who's your source?
The chamberofcommerce.org.
AT&T.com? 67% of American adults still use a landline? No way.
Only 2% only use landlines, but a quarter of Americans still have them.
A quarter? I find that very hard to believe.
I do too.
Now, are we talking about at the office?
I think if you include, I would agree, if you include all hospitals, all nursing homes, and offices, that's got to be included in that.
A different study says that only 27% of homes still have, well, that would still be a quarter. I can read.
You're telling me that 27% of homes still have an active landline.
Now, keep in mind, we're still not even to peak 65 yet, so the landline generation is still very much alive.
No, because my parents don't have a landline, and they're boomers.
True.
I think it's anyone over the age of
75.
Ooh, I was going to go 80.
Maggie will not get rid of her landline.
Why?
She won't do it.
We should call 2019 her. Does it make the noise? Does it go around and around and around?
It's not a rotary, no. You want to call her?
I kind of do. The phones are ringing. Are you calling in on a landline? Blink twice if you need help.
Sam, I'm going to send my mom a text during the break. We'll find out why Maggie still has a landline. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott, here on KMBZ. From the text line, somebody says, 0992 says, what's wrong with having a landline? Well, there's nothing wrong with it. I just don't know why you do. Somebody else says, when the power goes out, the landline always works. So does your cell phone.
That's true. And in some situations, some homes still have a hard line landline, but most of them now just run through your internet.
New construction, I don't think would, Sam,
unless you
specifically asked for it, right?
They would have to run a specific line into that neighborhood for that home, and they're not going to do that.
St. Margaret of Shawnee joining us on the hotline. Hello, St. Margaret.
Hello, Scott. How are you?
Well, we're doing quite well. Why do you still have a landline?
Because I hate talking on the cell phone.
And why do you call me from your cell phone?
Well, most of the time I call you from my landline, which is not a true landline because it does go out when the internet goes out.
But when you say you hate talking on your cell phone, why? Just the apparatus, or you hate, like, what do you hate about it?
The shape. I like the old shape of the phone.
Okay.
Like the bigger apparatus.
The cradle, yes.
Yes. Yes.
Huh. Very interesting.
And then lots of times I'll be waiting for a call on my cell phone, so I'll use my landline to do other stuff.
Okay.
So you could take a call on a phone you hate.
Right.
Okay. Just want to be clear.
That does make sense. What if
I am old fashioned, you know that.
Yeah.
Well aware, Mom.
You know what they need to do, Maggie? What they need to do is make a cell phone in the shape of the old cradle phone. Mm. You could even have the cord dangling off of it. It would follow you around all over the house.
We had that back in the 90s. We called it the bag phone.
Right. That's true. Your uncle had one.
Yeah, you need to get a bag phone, Mom.
Well, they do make phone cases that will provide that feeling for you, but then you have this big bulky thing to carry around everywhere. Kind of defeats the purpose.
Also mirrors as a weapon.
I didn't get that.
All right, Mom, love you, gotta go.
Love you.
All right, bye.
Goodbye.
Have a good day. Much.
You too. She's so sweet. Alex in KCK. Alex, hello.
Hello, Alex.
Alex wants.
This proves my point. Alex was going to say he has a landline, and we cannot get through to Alex.
Brian in Mound City. Hello, Brian.
Hi, Brian.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Well, we can hear you loud and clear on your cell phone. Go ahead, please.
Yes. My house has a dedicated landline for my security system. So do some businesses, too. That's why you got to have a dedicated landline for some security systems.
Interesting.
It can't be hacked.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
I had never heard that.
Yeah.
Okay.
My house I currently live in and my previous house that I used to own had a dedicated landline just for the security system.
Okay. All right, man. Brian, do appreciate it. Martha in Prescott. Hello, Martha.
Hi.
Hello.
Yeah, we have to have, with working from home, a landline phone for internet. We cannot have the broadband type internet like the big things now.
Martha, is that so you can't call in and say, sorry, my Wi-Fi is down, I can't work today? Like, they want you hardwired in?
No, we can still call in sick, but we use our cell phones mainly to do that. But it's a security with at home where over like Xfinity and some of those other T-Mobiles or whatever they have, they do not have quite the security that these landlines have to help stop hackers.
Okay. Martha, do appreciate the call. Thank you for it.
By the way, Brian had mentioned the security systems. So just under 70 million people have a landline still, 70 million households. Just under 40 million have security systems. The other 30 million, I don't know why.
They just have landlines. They just have landlines.
Just cuz, Sam. It's just cuz.
Somebody says you on the text line, you have to have a landline for a pacemaker? What does that mean?
I don't know.
You have to have a landline for a pacemaker.
Pretty sure the pacemaker is hardwired into your body, not into the walls of your home.
I would hope so.
I can't leave again.
It's kind of hard to walk around.
Mom, can you go to dinner?
No.
Nope.
No.
Tethered to the wall in the kitchen.
Can't even walk a step out of the front yard.
Oh, no. Somebody closed the door on the cord.
Bring me some carry out.
Margaret in Independence. Hello, Margaret.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm calling you from my landline.
Yay!
I have it because, like this morning, my friend called me on my cell phone to make a dinner date. We were going out for lunch. That's what I heard, and that's what she heard. So I said, hang up and call me on the landline.
She was breaking up on your cell phone.
Reception, huh?
She was breaking up on your cell phone, so you said call back on the landline.
Right, and it happened last night, too. I couldn't, people that I were talking to on the cell phone, we couldn't understand each other. Hang up, call me on the landline.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, it's.
Are they going to pry that landline out of your cold, dead grip?
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot, and as far as the cell phone, my fingers are so fat that when I try to dial stuff, you know, it's like, I've hit too many keys that I don't know. And I have to go back and redo. So it's just easier to pick up the landline and call.
Margaret, I hope you have a wonderful afternoon.
I will. I plan on it.
Okay.
And you too.
All right. Thank you. Be well.
The text line has figured it out.
Okay.
You need a landline for a fax machine.
I'm sorry?
Yeah. That's the 30 million, you know? Everybody's got a fax machine these days.
Nobody faxes anymore.
I know.
You scan and send.
That's right. Although that's not legit.
What do you mean that's not legit? Like I have signed documents in an email.
Yeah, but don't court systems still use fax machines?
Banks and other entities still use fax machines.
Yes.
And you can fax from your computer.
That's why it's wire fraud if you sign something that is less than accurate on a bank document.
But it would be wire fraud whether you used a fax machine or your email. It wouldn't matter. You're still sending that email from one state to another. Hence,
there's a wire.
I can't believe I just used the word hence.
Hence,
but
forth.
Therefore,
notwithstanding,
heretofore,
you've just committed wire fraud.
Yeah, you can get some software easily and load it onto your computer, and you can send a fax for, you know, a dollar or two.
Two things coming up. We are working on getting a very familiar face onto the program here in the next few minutes because he heard our show last night and says breakdancing is most definitely a sport. Also, straight ahead,
we are
learning more about the Olympic medalist, the gymnast, who was born with an eye condition, Scott, where basically without those glasses, one of his eyes is always crossed.
He's a stud.
And we are trying to get an expert on the program to talk about, like, if you're born with this, how much harder is it to do what he just did on that pommel horse because of his eye disorder?
That kid just made millions of dollars last night.
I think so.
Incredible.
Good for him. Quick break for the news with Dan Weinbaum in 2 minutes.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
I'm Jean Marie Laskus. I'm a journalist. I spent my career helping Americans understand the lives of other Americans. Coal miners, gun shop clerks, staffers in the White House mailroom. In my new podcast, Cement City, I tell the story of an entire town. A dying town that you have absolutely no reason to care about. But trust me, you will. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.